In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Good morning. It's so good to see all of you. As you are aware, the journey of Lent has many pit stops as we go along. There are two parallel stories or two parallel themes that are going through on the Sundays of Lent. We heard last week an explanation of the historical reasons why the first Sunday was called the Sunday of Orthodoxy. Today it is Sunday of Gregory Palamas. Then next Sunday we celebrate the rising of the cross. Then John Climacus, or of the ladder, and then Mary of Egypt, before we get into Palm Sunday and Holy Week. The two themes are not connected in each other. So there's the theme that is related to some historical reasons why we have all these names that I just mentioned. But also there's another theme that was much older in terms of how it showed up in the history of the church, which is very clear through the epistle and gospel readings. Today we heard about the paralytic, but those stories have an interesting reason why they exist. Those Sundays are, or those readings are meant to prepare the catechumens, people who were about to be baptized on Great Saturday during Holy Week, and those readings are meant to prepare them for what is coming up for their upcoming and very demanding Christian life and what to expect from it. At the same time, for those who were baptized, it was meant for them as a reminder that this is what we have signed up ourselves for, and so to renew our baptisms as well, even if we have been baptized before. Now, the healing of the paralytic, we might find ourselves in a similar situation like the paralytic himself. Sometimes we might find ourselves in a stagnant spiritual situation where we might be paralyzed because we are in despair. We don't feel that God exists in our life, or we are passing through this time when we feel that there's no grace working in our lives. So in this situation, we find that the friends of the paralytic are the ones whose faith really caused him to be healed. If you look again to the story, when Jesus saw the faith of the men who brought the paralytic, he healed the paralytic. He did not even talk to them. They were up on the roof, lowered the pallet because there was no room for them. They made sure that the paralytic is there in front of Christ, but Christ saw their faith, and accordingly he healed their friend. So we also might find ourselves in need for such friends who will be able to bring us to Christ, so for us to be healed. But the question that we are left with is, who are these friends and how can we find them? I want to digress for a second and explain what Gregory Palamas is about and why his commemoration happened today, and how is this practically connected to the question that I just posed, like where to find the friends and what kind of friends they are. Gregory Palamas was a monk in the 14th century. He was on Mount Athos. He has been a monk for some time. And then he was called to defend a great idea, a basic idea in Orthodox spirituality. And so he became the Archbishop of Thessalonica of modern-day Greece. And the idea that he came out to defend, because of his experience as a monk, someone who is praying all the time, was very basic. That we can experience the grace of God, we can experience the energies of God and His presence and His work in our life even today. Practically, what this means is that God continues to work in the world, even if we don't see Him doing so, but He is practically continuing to work in the world, which for us Christians should bring us some hope and peace, knowing that we're not left alone, that the world was not created and then left for its own accord, but that God continues to work even today. But the question is, how is he working? Why don't we see God working in the world these days? In general, for thousands of years, it does not seem that always God was working in the world. Because God works in the world through people who are created in his image and likeness. He works through people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who are created in his image and strive to become in his likeness through their spiritual struggles and genuine pursuit of God. According to Gregory Palamas, people can do so if they acquire inner stillness. There's a technical word for it, hesychia in Greek, but it means the inner peace, the inner stillness is necessary before we are able to do the work of God. And the way we acquire that stillness is through communion with God himself. He is the source of peace, and he is the source of every stillness that we may acquire as human beings. Which brings us back to the paralytic. The faith of the friends that brought him back to healing. How do we choose our friends is a big question, and how do we teach our children to choose their friends? Those friends should bear us in prayers and strengthen our faith when we falter. Most important, I think, is the question, what kind of friends we are to those around us. Are we the ones who are filled with the Holy Spirit and in true communion with God, and we have the inner stillness so that we can bring healing to others? Sometimes we are consumed with everything in our life to the point where there's a lot of noise inside. There's so much going on that we are not able to be present in the moment where we are, where we're not able to see the person who's in front of us, and we cannot really listen when someone is talking to us. I'm sure that every one of us has experienced at least one time an experience of someone listening to us, really listening to us. And that this experience for us can feel very much healing just by the fact that someone listened to us and took the time to quiet every noise inside of them so that they can hear what we were saying. But the problem is that sometimes we do not appreciate enough our presence in other people's lives. We ourselves might be shy, introverts, or we are not taught how to have an eye contact with others. There's a lot of things that are happening inside of us and in our lives to the point where we are not able to look people in the eyes and listen to them. Sometimes what happens is that it's not about the person who's in front of us. It's about our self-perception. We do not appreciate ourselves enough to really be present in the lives of other people. Sometimes we think that what kind of value do I have to offer other people in my life or people that I encounter every day in my life? With such an attitude, it's very clear that even if God wants to work through us, we shut him down. Say, oh, I don't have any value in your eyes for you to work through me in the world that I live in. This is my attitude that is actually shutting down God away from his work through me. So two things I want to bring to your attention as a community that we are doing right now. First, the name tags as we go out to the hall, having everyone leaving the church, going to the hall, having their name tags. Because I know we all are horrible with names, and this is the way to connect as a community, to at least remember someone's name by having the name tag there, so that we can connect with other people, that we have an arena for practice of what it means to quiet everything and listen to other people and care for them. Because there's another reason for this that's much more important. We belong to the community. Belonging is a community effort. We all long to belong. That's the meaning of belonging, that we long to be loved for who we are, and we long to love others as they are, because that makes us grow as people, as individuals. And we do not belong to a building, we do not belong to a priest, and we do not belong to an abstract faith, because otherwise an abstract faith becomes an ideology, and that's not faith. So we belong to a community where we feel loved and we love others, and as a result, we have to own the impact of our presence and the impact of our absence. Because when we are present, things are different than when we are absent. Things are not the same when I'm not here, because I'm not here. If I assume that God is working through me in other people's lives, when I am not here, there's something missing. I don't know how to explain it. If I ask someone, where have you been, because I miss you, not because I want to intimidate them. It's always very hard for me as the priest to ask that question, because everyone will understand it as I'm trying to intimidate them. Or if I notice that they came this time and they have been absent for a couple of weeks, I say, how are you doing? They might interpret this in their mind that I'm trying to show them, where have you been? Right? It's very hard for me to do so. Because everyone would think inside their mind, like, the priest has been missing me, and now he wants to put it like, you have not been here for a couple of weeks. But no, that's not the reason. Because actually the community is different without you. Because you belong here. And you know it from your own households. If your son or daughter is in college, your household is not different, is not the same, because that person is not there. Your family is not the same when your child goes out to college. Same thing for every one of you. So when we are not here, the impact of our absence is felt, is there, and people notice that. So we all can help each other acquire the stillness, the peace that's inside of us, so that we, when we practice this in the whole, we can practice it everywhere else in the world. That through us, God can work in other people's lives. Even if I have to run to 100 things on Sunday after we're done with the Divine Liturgy. So our invitation today is very simple. To struggle to acquire the divine stillness through our spiritual struggles, and so that God may work in us and in other people's lives through us, and so that we may be like Him when it is time for Him to come back and judge the earth and heavens. Amen.